had immediate contact with the human being, and could really look at the to the depths of your soul, whoever you were. And he had that gift of being able to unify people. And very soon when we were there, it was like one big family, and it was because of Eric, because his warmth and his sense of humor, and you know, everybody knew him, and everybody, you know, became everybody else's friend. He had this gift, and yet there was a great shyness in him, you know. And you know, when I wasn't around, I was, so to say, the buffer zone between the world and thing, and he needed that, you know, to really operate. No, some kind of protection or something, you know, I represented. Well, this summer, the first summer at the Heartfelt Foundation, is really the most memorable thing that we had, and I think the happiest time that Eric ever experienced. It was just ideal. It was absolutely ideal, and I feel very, very sorry that all this was given up and not more people can still enjoy this marvelous thing. It was...
Where was it located?
It was located in Rustin Canyon. And was a huge estate, so that you could walk for an hour within the estate. And there were little houses, cottages, that had their own little kitchen. So that if you didn't want, if you were in the fury of work and didn't want to go out the, into the main building where the meals were served, the breakfast and dinner were served there. The lunch they always brought to you.
I see.
But they brought, for instance, a cold lunch. If you didn't feel like a cold lunch, you could prepare yourself a hot one there. There was a little kitchen, you know. And this workroom was, and... they were completely separated, these little cottages, so that everyone was completely by himself, didn't have any self-consciousness about his, any neighbor that would hear what he did. And there were different, completely different kind of people there, composers, painters, sculptors, poets. And just that summer, there was a marvelous bunch of people there, everyone very, very interesting, and they were so congenial, as is seldom the case. The composers that were there were Ernst Toch, and then later came Roy Harris. And we had known Roy, but we met him there, and Eric and Roy immediately became friends, and Roy loved Eric. And we used to go in the evening, we used to, after work, we used to go and take long walks. And sometimes after the walk and before we came home still, we laid down on the meadow and looked up in the sky that was full of stars the summer night. And Roy Harris would tell about his childhood. And beautiful stories. He was quite a poet in his book. And Eric would tell about himself, and we would hear each other's works, and he was very, very impressed and loved Eric's music. And Toch was at that time in a period of intense work and did not, hardly, was hardly seen there. And but he sometimes, he was, of course, a friend, you know, sometimes. So Eric was one of the few people he went out to see, and he came over to us, and we had talks, and you know, visited with each other. One of the highlights for everybody was in the afternoon, late afternoon, right before dinner, when everybody had finished with work, they used to go to the swimming pool. It wasn't really a pool, it was a bigger thing, it was like a pond. But it had like a... board from which you jump, you know, and everybody was waiting when Ernst Toch came out and made his salto mortale into the water. It was just fantastic because he was 70, I think, at that time already, you know, and really very athletic. And there was a sculptor, a young boy 24 years old, but unfortunately I have forgotten his name. But he